can you help me? But more importantly, have you helped others do the thing that I'm asking you to do? What were the results of doing that? Because ultimately your client wants to trust you. They want to trust that if I invest X amount of money with you and you know, presumably high ticket items here, there needs to be that trust. Can you deliver or help me create this result? And have you done this with others?
Welcome to the Influence and Scale podcast, where content creators, marketers, and entrepreneurs learn how to increase their influence and scale their business using content marketing. My name is Tyler Basu, and alongside my business partner, Chuck Anderson, we'll be sharing proven strategies to help you grow your audience, create great content, and generate more traffic, leads, and sales for your business. Thanks so much for joining us. Now let's dive in. Hello, hello, welcome, welcome. Tyler here with my partner Chuck, and today we're tackling a topic that's been pretty important for anyone that is producing content, driving awareness for their business, building their audience on social media. There comes a point where if you're not driving leads and sales, then you question the value of why are you even doing creating content in the first place? Why are you blogging? Why are you doing YouTube? Why are you doing a podcast if the audience that you're building isn't converting into leads? And the confusion that we see a lot of people run into when it's time to convert their audience into leads is, how do you do that? There are so many different types of marketing funnels. There are so many different ways that you can collect a lead online or get somebody's contact information online. And so because of that, because of all these options, there's confusion on, you know, what works best for your business. Because Chuck, as we both know, there's no one size fits all type of marketing funnel that works for every business. In fact, the clients that we're working with, they each have different types of funnels. Like, it's not the same funnel for every client because we have to adapt how we generate leads for somebody based on their offer, based on their industry, based on their target market, and so on. So there's never, I would caution anyone to avoid believing if somebody tells you, okay, there's only one way of doing something, because chances are there's not. Chances are you have to choose among the different types of options for generating leads what's best for you. Now, before we dive into helping you think through how you should generate leads and what type of content you should use to get those leads, let's start off with, well, how do you actually sell? Because Chuck, the way that that somebody sells is going to vary, you know, based on their industry, based on their product or service. There's a few kind of broad categories of business types, and then the way that you would sell those products or services is different. Just keep this in mind, that how you sell depends on what you sell. And so we're starting by getting clear on what your sales process is before we figure out how to best bring you leads to add to that sales process. But there's three main buckets. Okay, there's the info product people. These people selling online courses, ebooks, online trainings, things like that. Then there's the service providers and the expert businesses, like coaches, consultants, agencies. And then you've got like your software businesses, you know, SaaS, even physical products, e-commerce, where you might not be talking to somebody to get the sale. Okay, you got sign-up pages and free trials and stuff. So Chuck, why don't you touch on the best way to sell for each of these industries before we touch on leads? So info products, what is an effective way to sell info products?
Yeah, well, the very first thing you need to do when you're selling an info product is you need to connect with your audience's pain and the problem that they're trying to solve, because your info product is a solution to a problem. And I think a big mistake that I see in a lot of the funnels and a lot of the marketing is that they're trying too hard to sell the product. They're trying too hard to describe the product, what it contains.
Eight modules, three bonuses. Yeah,
how many modules there are, how many hours of video tutorials there are, all the features of the program, and then the pricing. And what we have to remember when we're selling an info product is that that's not really why they're there. It's the information that's contained inside your info product, such as a course or an ebook or whatever, that the client wants. In fact, taking that one step further, it's not even the content, it's the end result. It's the result that that content is going to ultimately help them to generate in terms of solving a problem or finally achieving something that they have been trying to achieve for a while. So sell the result and not the program. And the way you do that is you really need to understand in a deep level as possible who your target audience is, what their pain points are, and what is the end result that they are ultimately wanting to achieve.
And one of the reasons that is so crucial is because a lot of info products are priced at, you know, at the low price points. There's you know, $10 ebooks, $50 courses, $100 courses. Yes, there are info products that are several thousand, but you usually take a phone call to sell those. So if you're not selling something that's several thousand and you're expecting somebody to make that decision to buy your info product without talking to you, your copy needs to be dialed. Like everything you say on your landing page has to be really speak to those pain points. You might have to maybe you use a webinar that does the actual selling for you. So you have to know, you have to understand your market so intimately so that you can touch on all the pain points and answer all the questions and overcome all the objections in the content itself without actually talking to that person. The second category, coaching, consulting services, those usually takes phone calls because these are clients where you're asking them to spend several thousand dollars, typically, sometimes more, tens of thousands, even six figure deals. People don't make those decisions on a webinar. They usually want to talk to somebody. So Chuck, is there anything you want to add to that on for the service providers, the coaches, the consultants, that they're taking phone calls? Any suggestions there to help with their sales process?
Well, for sure. And especially in a service where you're delivering the service, you got to think of yourself as the product. And what really is the deciding factor is a couple things. Number one, they need to trust you. And the only way to gain that trust is to have a conversation, prove that you are a good listener and that you have something to offer in terms of that end result. And there's no way of shortcutting that. I know a lot of people try to shortcut that, but you have to have the conversation. You have to be willing to go deep and you have to be willing to talk to people. This isn't something that you can hide behind a video sales letter or a sales page or even really good copy. Even though there is some really good copy that will convert, but ultimately it's the relationship and it's the trust that you are going to develop with them. And sometimes, speaking from my own experience selling these kind of programs, sometimes two or three calls happen before they actually become a client because that deep dive needed to happen. There was additional intake that needed to happen. And every time there's that touch point, every time that conversation happens, there's more and more trust built. And then once they really feel comfortable with you and your offer, it doesn't matter what the price point is. Could be $1,000, could be $10,000, could be $25,000. It's all about conveying that the result that they're going to get and that trust in you to help them to get that result.
Yeah, because these are high touch type of offers. So there needs to be that personal component, you know, personal element to it, where so they feel like they know you, they like you, they trust you, and then they'll consider working with you. The third category, software. Most software companies, their sales process begins at free trial. And so the goal of their marketing is to get people as far as free trial. And then as soon as you're on the free trial, you know, there's a customer support team available to you. There's an onboarding process available to you to get you to upgrade. But that often happens without you talking to somebody, unless the software is like enterprise stuff that's, you know, a several thousand dollar per month commitment. But if it's like $100 a month software or $50 a month software, it usually isn't feasible to have a sales team selling that, which means you're relying on the free trial to upgrade process. We're touching on this because based on what you're selling and how your sales process begins, that helps dictate the best way to get a lead just before they enter your sales process. The lead generation part is what you would call your marketing funnel. Okay, because it's not doing your selling for you, but it's getting the qualified leads that are being handed to the beginning of that sales process. And so for the stuff where you're teaching people how to do something themselves, so it's not the high touch stuff, this is like, you know, the software that they use on their own, the online course that they go through on their own. So you might not ever actually talk to your customer. A great way to generate those leads is to give them something that they can use in their desire to like implement a particular outcome or goal. Like if somebody's, you know, they're trying to learn how to get their blog post to rank on Google. It's something they want to learn how to do. Okay, you can give them like an SEO checklist or a blog post creation checklist, right? That's something that you can trade because it helps them implement what they're trying to do, and it qualifies them as somebody that may that could be interested in your, maybe you've got a course on SEO or something like that, right? So Chuck, what are some examples of lead magnets that work really well in kind of the info product market, the do-it-yourself type market? Give us a couple of just a couple of formats that that lead magnet might exist in.
So the first thing you want to consider when you're developing a lead magnet for an info product is and again, getting back to what we were saying before, is the purpose of the lead magnet is to attract people who have the problem that your product solves or desires the outcome that your product provides. And so what you want to be thinking about is, where are they right now? What are they struggling with now? What are they thinking about now? What are the questions they are asking themselves now? And at that stage, at that sort of that point A, that beginning of their journey stage, or wherever they happen to be in terms of solving that problem, the question is always around clarity. They want clarity in terms of, what do I need to do to solve this problem? Or what do I need to do to achieve X? And so checklists and any sort of content really that will guide them through the steps, not necessarily how to do it, because that's ultimately what your product does,
but what to do,
what to
do, what to do.
So what versus how. What it does is it attracts the people who have that question. They're looking for that clarity in terms of, what steps do I need to take in order to get this result? And now you're building a list of people who ultimately need the content that you are selling. So that's what makes the best lead magnet. And in whatever format that happens to be, in a checklist or a video or a free training or a webinar or whatever, really it's about positioning the clarity. What do I need to do to achieve X?
Yeah. And this is why there's no one size fits all funnel, right? You really have to think through who you're trying to reach as an ideal client. What are they going through that triggers them wanting to find a business or a person like you that can help them? And in that moment that they're searching for the help, they need the resource or they need the information, they need the clarity. What's the thing that you could give them that in exchange for their contact info? So you get them as a lead when they're in that consideration stage of their journey of looking for a product or service, right? They're in search mode. They're trying to find something. You got to give them the thing that would tell you that they are a potential client for you. So the other types of ways that you would build your email list are the things that are more appropriate for if you're selling services like coaching, consulting services, really high touch stuff, high price stuff, because these people don't want to do it themselves. They want help. They want to hire somebody to do it for them, or at the very least guide them. So they're not really in learning mode. They're not really interested in, hey, what's your 5-step process? Because I want to learn how to do your 5-step process to get XYZ result. They're just trying to find who can help me. Like they're trying to, in their search for information, what they're looking for is who can help them. And so the way that you show someone that you can help them is different from the way that you would serve somebody that's trying to help themselves. So there's different types of content that attract people that know that they want help and are willing to hire somebody. Okay. So Chuck, let's touch on some of the things that we can use to build our list if we're selling like services, coaching, consulting.
Yeah. Well, one of the best pieces of content that you can use to position that is a case study. And this gets back to that trust conversation that we were talking about earlier, especially when positioning a service. And that is, can you help me? But more importantly, have you helped others do the thing that I'm asking you to do? What were the results of doing that? Because ultimately your client wants to trust you. They want to trust that if I invest X amount of money with you and you know, presumably high ticket items here, there needs to be that trust. Can you deliver or help me create this result? And have you done this with others? So case studies are a great way to do that. If you can summarize examples of clients you've worked with where you have achieved these results, then that's ultimately what's going to grab their attention and want to talk to you further.
Yeah. Yeah. I like case studies as well. And those can be in several formats. Like that could literally be a blog post on your site where you just publish the article that is the case study on how you help somebody. It could be a video or like a mini webinar type of a thing. There's people calling them micro webinars and mini webinars now, which are essentially just, you know, 15 to 20 minute videos where you're not teaching them what to do. You're just showing them that you understand their problem. You can help them get the result, and you've done it for others before. It's proof and trust. That's what you're transferring in your training. Another thing that's worked quite well is like free assessments and quizzes. Like if you give somebody a questionnaire that helps them figure out if they should in fact be hiring you, if they should do the thing that you're recommending, goes back to, you know, giving them the clarity. Those work well. Those can work well. In fact, we're about to create a free assessment for one of our funnels, and because we did it for another business and saw how well it did, so we're like, wait, let's do this for ourselves. So anyway, we're gonna have that going, because then that's, you know, the mindset of somebody that fills out a free assessment or a quiz. It's like they're trying to figure out, based on where they are, what's the customized a solution or plan of action that they should have. So they're not trying to, you know, learn somebody's process per se. They're just trying to learn if it's the thing that they should do. So they might be a little bit unclear on what the solution to their problem is, but they certainly know what their problem is. So that's why those would work well. Now, as we wrap up, because we want to leave you guys with a next step here, but before we leave with that next step, just think through, okay, at a basic level, is what you sell, does it help people do it on their own, or do you do it with them? If you're helping them do it on their own, use informational type of resources to build your email list, checklists, worksheets, webinars, that sort of stuff. If you're work with people directly, don't use informational type of resources to build your email list. Use trust-based resources. Show people that you can help them and collect their contact info. Give them the clarity on whether or not what you offer is in fact a solution to their problem. Trust and clarity are like the two main things that you want to transfer there. But in both cases, because the thing that you come up with, the resource that you come up with, or the case study that you come up with, or whatever it is, you know, you may not come up with the best one your first time. So what can end up happening is you have this, you're investing money into growing your audience, you're setting up funnels, you're setting up automated emails, you're setting up retargeting ads to help grow your audience and turn them into leads. But if you pick the wrong resource, then there's the chance that you're going to say, oh, this whole thing, this all this marketing stuff doesn't work. But really, it's just, we just need to replace one little piece of that whole funnel, right? So what I like to do to avoid that risk of creating a resource that isn't going to work is I pre-sell a resource. So like on social media, Chuck sees me do this almost every week. I have an idea for a worksheet or a template or whatever, and I post on social, hey, I'm creating this thing, or I've got this thing. It helps you get XYZ result, or it helps you with this problem. Do you want it? And comment below if you do. That's my way of testing my resource ideas. Over the past year, I've tested several dozen different ideas that I had for lead magnets and templates and frameworks that we could give away. And in doing that, we've arrived at, I think, Chuck, we shortlisted it to what, like two or three that we think are our best ones?
Yeah, two or three. They didn't all resonate. But that's what I love about this method, is that you can post it out to your audience. The people who want it and resonate it with, they're like, yes, please send it to me. And I think that snowballs also. Other people jump on board and say, yeah, send it to me as well. And some of them have really taken off, where others, where either the languaging wasn't right or the resource itself just didn't apply to them, the response was low. we didn't have to waste a lot of time creating stuff that people don't want or need.
Yep. So here's what you can do. If you've got an audience on social, if you have an email list already of subscribers or prospects, send them a message and be like, hey, I'm making this thing. This thing helps you do this, XYZ, whatever the outcome is. Do you want it? Hit reply or leave a comment below and I'll give it to you. What that's going to do is it's going to tell you right away. If you get even 10 or 20 people, I would say, that reach out and say, yes, I would consider that thing validated. If only like two people tell you they want it, maybe it's not so validated. But if you can get 10 or 20 people that say, yep, I want that thing, and go have a conversation with them, like right then and there, give them the resource, start a conversation, see if you can help them, see if you can get that call booked in your calendar, you know, move them from that resource to whatever your sales process is right then and there. But now that you have the proof that this is a resource you can use that attracts ideal clients for you, now you build a funnel around it. Now you set up your retargeting ads to help convert your website visitors or your audience on social into leads for your products and services using that resource. But don't commit to, you know, these expensive campaigns and all these assets that you need, all these website pages you need, all these automated emails you need, the ads, like all that stuff. Don't commit to all that stuff on the assumption that you chose the right resource for your funnel. Marketing should always be data driven. Let's all leave our egos at the door. And if there's any part of your entire marketing campaign or process that's not working, let's try to isolate what is actually the part that's not working. And in many cases, it happens to be the resource that you used to generate leads in the first place. Chuck, is there anything you want to add to that? Any last words you want to leave them with? And then we'll wrap up this training on marketing funnels.
Well, you're singing my tune there, as you know. Well, no, I am so data driven, because what I really hate in marketing is assumptions. Mm-hmm. Assuming that this is going to work and assuming that this is better than another thing. And, you know, when I was working for another really large internet marketing consulting company, we had a saying there: assume nothing, test everything. In other words, get the results, get the data to back up your hypothesis or your assumption that this mm-hmm. is better than another thing, then back it up with data. Split test those things. See, does this work better than this? Let the numbers guide you. And if you would only keep track of your numbers, and that should probably be another podcast episode, Tyler, that we talk about, is track your damn numbers, because lots of people don't, right? Because you need to know what works.
Yeah.
And when you are tracking your stuff and you're testing out different things, you're going to be able to look at that and say, yes, this works better than this because, and you have the data to back it up.
Yeah, actually, you just reminded me that one of the resources we did create this past year was a metrics tracking template. So if you want to track your numbers, you don't have a template, we have one on our website you can grab, influenceandscale.com, the resource page. Has a marketing metrics template that you can grab. If you have a resource that's working, if you have a lead magnet, a webinar, a checklist, whatever it is, a case study that you know works, that you know would help get you more clients, and you just want to get some more, drive some more traffic to that, get more leads, and you need some help with that, feel free to reach out. We'd love to chat with you. If you already have a funnel that works, you just need more people to it, That's an easy problem to fix. We can fix that with some content promotion and some retargeting ads. So anyway, we hope this was helpful for you. If you have any questions, just reach out to us. We'd be happy to chat with you. We wish you all the best, and we hope that this gave you some clarity and hopefully helped you avoid building a whole complex funnel that flops because you didn't validate that was actually the right way that you should be generating leads based on your industry and your product or service. Thanks so much for listening to the Influence and Scale podcast. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And for show notes, links to resources mentioned, or to learn about how our agency can help you implement a profitable content marketing strategy, visit influenceandscale.com/podcast.